Well, praise the Lord. We surely are having a family meeting today. Isn't that a blessing? Just to have a family meeting and have the Father present, watching over all the instructions and all the exhortations, and bringing out of even the mouth of babes and suckling strength unto all. That's just a blessing to have a family meeting this morning. I'd like you this morning to open your Bibles to the book of Revelation. I do also greet each one in the name of the Lord Jesus. We are grateful for visitors this morning, many of you. I hope you feel comfortable here. I hope you feel welcome. We do welcome you in Jesus' name. This morning I'd like to speak on this small phrase in the book of Revelation. And yes, I want to direct the message to Brother Ross and his family, although to all of us. There's a very small phrase in the book of Revelation. The phrase, the testimony of Jesus. Have you ever seen that little phrase in the book of Revelation? It's in there many times. Not just once, but many times. It's worthy of note that the book of Revelation is the last book of the Bible. It's also worthy of note that the book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus. You know, for years, when I was in the Baptist church, I didn't understand a lot about the book of Revelation. I always looked at it as a book of prophecy. And although it is that, I feel like the little phrase that begins the book is one of the keys that unlocks the door to the secrets of the book of Revelation. And that is the revelation of Jesus Christ. When it dawned on me one day that the book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ, why, all kinds of secrets began to open up for me in the book of Revelation. But I think it's interesting to note that it's in the book of Revelation that this little phrase is found, the testimony of Jesus. And I think it's appropriate that those two go together, the book of Revelation and the testimony of Jesus, because that's what the book of Revelation is. It's the final testimony of Jesus. I'd like us just to turn to chapter 1, and we're going to read this phrase. We're going to page our way through the book of Revelation here as an introduction this morning. Revelation chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. His servant John, to bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now John knew about the testimony of Jesus. We know that his whole life was filled with being jealous over the testimony of Jesus. When I think of John and I think of the testimony of Jesus, I have to go to those last words there in the book of John. I guess it's his concluding word about Jesus. And he says this, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Now I realize that each one of the apostles, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all wrote of the testimony of Jesus, but there's something unusual about the book of John as he wrote about the testimony of Jesus. The others are more of a historical testimony, whereas the book of John is more of an interpretation of how the life and testimony of Jesus unfolded before the apostle John. It's not just a historical record of his miracles and what he said here and what he said there, but rather there's some interpretation that you find in there also in the book of John that is not in the others. And John was filled with the testimony of Jesus, and he gives record to that right here. Going on just a little bit further in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9, he said, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos. Why? For the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He was there for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. So I think it's evident by that that this testimony of Jesus Christ is more than just a lip profession. It means more than that. It's not just that John was able to open his mouth and say that Jesus can be your Savior. It was much more than that. This testimony of Jesus that John stood for, it brought him to the Isle of Patmos, exiled, away from the church, away from his brothers and sisters in the Lord. It was for the testimony of Jesus that he was there. Over in Revelation chapter 6, now we're looking into the future some, Revelation chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. And when he, the angel, had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And I think it's safe to assume here that it's the testimony of Jesus. You'll notice how those two go together all the way through the book of Revelation. For the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus. And before the message is over, I think that we'll clearly understand that there is a big difference between the word of God and between the testimony of Jesus. There are two things there. John stood for them both. And they, the souls that were around the throne, they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. So here we have a scene in heaven, and in the scene of heaven there is a great multitude gathered around the altar, and they are those who were slain for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus. And they're crying unto the Father that he would avenge their blood on the people that are on the earth. And the word is given to them as white robes are put upon them that they should rest for a little while. There's more yet to come who will also give their blood for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus. Over in Revelation chapter 11, and I'm making application here because the words are not clear, but I think I'm making a safe application. In Revelation chapter 11, we find the two witnesses. Brother Moses spoke about the two witnesses a few weeks ago, but I think it's safe to say that in the scriptures here in Revelation 11, it says that when they finished their testimony, the two witnesses were placed upon the earth to give a testimony. And I just can't help but believe in my own heart that the testimony that made the whole world so mad was the testimony of Jesus. The thing that made the world so upset at them was the testimony of Jesus. The thing that bothered the world so much is that they, like Stephen, who was just like an angel, who stood and spoke there to the Sanhedrin, and it made them so upset. It was the testimony of Jesus that Stephen was speaking to them, and it made them so upset and so angry that they gnashed upon him with their teeth. I can't help but picture in my own mind those two witnesses giving out the testimony of Jesus and it coming with power upon the hearts of men and women who have turned their hearts away from God, and how upset they are that they wish that they could kill these two witnesses But the scriptures here say that that fire will come out of the mouths of those witnesses, and anyone who tries to hurt them before the testimony is finished will be slain by the fire that comes out of their mouth. And if you can just picture all that together, it's the testimony of Jesus, and here the world is once again trying to blot the testimony of Jesus out and shut the mouths of those who carry the testimony of Jesus upon their lips and their heart. But this time they can't stop them, because the mouth of these two witnesses will breathe out fire, and those who try to kill them are slain. And of course we know, as they see that happening, then the world backs away and they must just listen to the testimony of Jesus one last time. And then when their testimony is finished, God allows that they be slain. And they're resurrected there in front of all the world. I believe it's the testimony of Jesus. Over in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 and 11. And maybe this will give you some insight. It did to me. I'm not preaching thus saith the Lord, but just I think it'll give you some insight into these verses in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. As we just compare this little phrase as it goes through the book of Revelation, I believe that God would want to teach us something and open up our understanding this morning to understand clearer just what He means by that little phrase, the testimony of Jesus. Verse 10, And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Could it be that's the word of their testimony? Could it be the testimony of Jesus that helped them to overcome? Over to verse 12, we'll read on. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast out unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. Notice that. Oh, if we can just paint a picture before our eyes here this morning, before the eyes of our heart, of the dragon coming after the woman, and the woman being caught up on eagle's wings, and the dragon spewing water out of his mouth, trying to destroy the woman. And as the dragon sees that the woman has escaped away, and no, he could not destroy the woman, then in disgust he turns away from that plan and turns all his attention on the people of God, those who stand and live by the commandments of God and for the testimony of Jesus. And then also in Revelation chapter 19, just giving a little introduction here, Revelation 19 and verse 10. Well, let's read verse 9 also. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. What does that mean? Oh, I've read that verse for years. I've read over that verse, and I've pondered it, and I wondered, what does that mean, Lord? And I don't say this morning that I understand all that it means, but I think I'm getting a little bit of a glimpse of what that verse means. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I looked that up just a little bit, and it means the breath of prophecy. That in the testimony of Jesus is the breath of prophecy, or is the inspiration of prophesying. It comes forth from the testimony of Jesus. And as I studied a little, one commentator also said this, that the possession of the prophetic spirit is known by the testimony of Jesus. Oh, there are a lot of prophets that have gone out into the world in these last days, but the possession of the true prophetic spirit is known by the testimony of Jesus. What comes out of the mouth of those prophets today? Is it the testimony of Jesus, or is it something else? If it's not the pure testimony of Jesus, then it's not the spirit of prophecy, my friend. It is not the spirit of prophecy today. And I would have to say this, just judging from my own experiences, that there seems to be an unction, there seems to be a stirring within my own heart when I stop to preach about the testimony of Jesus. Yes, there's an anointing when you teach the Bible, and you can open the Bible and you can teach on the home, and there's an anointing upon the teaching. But there's something different that happens inside this heart of mine when it's time to open up my mouth and speak about Jesus. Somehow it just doesn't come out the same. Somehow I don't seem to need as many notes. When it's the testimony of Jesus, there seems to be a spirit of prophecy that comes upon the heart of those that are willing to open their mouth for Jesus. And I wonder how many of you could also bear the same testimony as you've stood in a park somewhere in an open-air meeting and began to open your mouth, and all of a sudden you discovered that there was an anointing there and there was some prophesying inside your heart that you didn't even know you had in there. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I can't help but just step aside from my message here a little and go back to Aaron's message. And he was speaking about being prepared, and speaking about being prepared and being ready to go out and being able to go out into the harvest fields and preach the gospel. Oh, my friend, if you want to be prepared to go out into the fields, you need to go out into the fields now. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I wonder how many men never went to any Bible school, never had any education, never had any formal training at all, but they got up the whole of the Bible and started talking about Jesus, and they learned how to preach, and nobody ever gave them a homiletic class, and nobody ever sat them down and said, now this is what the Bible means. But the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, and you can see those young men standing out on the street corners learning how to preach because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I think I understand just a little bit what it means. Brother Ross, go with the testimony of Jesus to Woodbury. You want to be assured of a blessing on the work in Woodbury and Finger, Tennessee? Let your heart be full of the testimony of Jesus. Let your mouth be full of the testimony of Jesus. Let your meditations be on the testimony of Jesus. And I can assure you there'll be a blessing upon the work in Woodbury, Tennessee. You know, it's interesting, as you ponder the lives of great men, I was meditating about the life of A.B. Simpson, and some of you may not know who that man is, but he was a mighty man. He was a mighty man of God. He was the founder of the Christian Missionary Alliance movement, and that was back when it was a mighty power upon this earth. But you know, that whole movement got started by a glimpse that man got into heaven. You know what his glimpse was? Jesus Christ, Savior, Sanctifier, Healer, and Coming King. And on those simple four things, the testimony of Jesus was clear upon his heart. And he began to preach that under the anointing of the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Christian Missionary Alliance movement began, and churches spread out all over the countryside, and missionaries were sent all over the world because one simple man without a whole lot of education got a glimpse of the testimony of Jesus and all that it means and all that Jesus means, and he began to preach it under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Let us not forget this morning That it is through prophesying that the church goes on. That it is through prophesying that the church is motivated to rise and build. It is through prophesying that the walls were built. It is through prophesying that the temple was built there in the Old Testament. It was Haggai and Zechariah who rose up when the people of God were sitting in lethargy and doing nothing and the temple was not being built. It was through prophesying that the temple was built. And I dare to say this morning, if we go back into the types and shadows of the temple and the walls of Jerusalem, that it was the spirit of prophecy. It was the testimony of Jesus that God was jealous over. There was no temple. There was no Jesus. There was no type of Jesus on the earth. There was no walls around Jerusalem, which is the type of the protection of Jesus. And it was the testimony of Jesus that God was burdened over, even in the Old Testament, that caused the spirit of prophecy to come upon Haggai and to come upon Zechariah and to say, consider your ways, Israel. Get out of your fields. Quit building your houses. Forget about your vineyards. Then go build the house of God. It was the testimony of Jesus that God was jealous over. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy this morning. What is the testimony of Jesus? Well, I think it's evident this morning that it must be more than a simple profession of Jesus. For this country is scattered with 40 million of those. Surely it's not that. If that's the testimony of Jesus, just being able to open your mouth and say Jesus is the Savior, there's 40 million people in this country who claim to have the testimony of Jesus. But I'm telling you, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And where is the prophesying in America? Where is it? Back to the brother's message this morning. The word testimony means to bear witness. Often in the New Testament, the words are traced back and forth. It's the same Greek word, martyrial. It's the word that we get martyr from. That's what the word testimony means. It's martyrial in the Greek, and it's the same word that we get our word martyr from. And we'll see how all that comes together here as the message unfolds. What is the testimony of Jesus, then, if it's not a simple lip profession? And I know that it's not. I know that it's not that. It doesn't take a whole lot of wisdom to look around us, to look at the America that we live in, to look at the condition of the churches, to look at the life that is there, that you can't hardly see it. It doesn't take long for us to know. Surely the testimony of Jesus is more than a simple profession that Jesus is the Savior. The testimony of Jesus, I want to say this morning, is the gospel that He preached. The testimony of Jesus this morning is the life that He lived. It's the truth that salvation is in Him. The testimony of Jesus is the revelation of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus is that Christ can live in us. The testimony of Jesus is all that He did and all that He can do for you. The testimony of Jesus is that He is all you need. The testimony of Jesus is the claims that He made. That's what the testimony of Jesus is. And I'd like to look at a few points here this morning just about the testimony of Jesus. It was very important to John. It was powerful enough and important enough that he was willing to be thrown in a big pot of oil that was boiling. It was powerful enough and more influential enough that he was willing to be exiled on the Isle of Patmos for it. It was powerful enough that it scattered the throne of God with men and women who gave their lives for it. It was powerful enough for that. It was powerful enough that it caused the dragon to turn away from his pursuit after the woman and turn both barrels loose on God's people. What is the testimony of Jesus? First of all, this morning, the testimony of Jesus is the gospel that He preached. If we're going to stand for the testimony of Jesus this morning, we need to stand for the gospel that He preached. The Scriptures are so clear in the Gospels that Jesus went forth preaching the gospel. The gospel is the good news. We know what the gospel is. We know that word gospel means good news. But my friend, the good news that Jesus shared, it shocked the religious world. It shocked them. And it still does today. It even shocked his disciples, the good news that Jesus shared with them. You see, the people in Jesus' day are no different than the people in our day. And they were looking for a nice little good news message about Jesus. And I'm here to tell you this morning, and Brother Ross, don't take one of those sweet little good news messages down to Woodbury, Tennessee. Take the gospel that Jesus preached. They were shocked by His gospel. They found out by the words that He spoke that there was a price tag on salvation. Oh, what awesome words He shared while He was here upon the earth, while He was preaching the gospel. And remember, He was preaching the gospel. He said words like this: "Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father." Oh, what powerful words. There in His day, Lord, 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 Lord. Oh, everybody was running after John the Baptist and then running to come and hear about Jesus. Lord, Lord, Lord. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Oh, what kind of good news is this? This is going to cost me something. Yes, Jesus had a multitude that followed Him. While they understood a free ticket to heaven, while they understood the Messiah had come, while they understood that the kingdom would be restored unto Israel and the Romans be thrown out, Jesus had a great following in those days. But all the words began to come out of His mouth: "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Oh yes, if you're heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Oh, yes, you'll find peace and rest for your soul. But, oh, that's not the gospel that Jesus preached. Not all of it. He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and then you'll find rest for your soul." That's the gospel that Jesus preached. Sell all you have and give to the poor. That's what Jesus preached. That was the gospel that He preached. "Whosoever humbleth himself shall be exalted. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased." Shall be abased. The gospel that Jesus preached: "Take up the cross and follow me," He said. The gospel Jesus preached: "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and his wife and his children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." This is the gospel that Jesus preached. Brother Ross, you take that gospel down to Woodbury, Tennessee. Carry that one down there. That's the only kind of gospel that's going to change the lives of men and women. Listen, men have scattered themselves across this country for the last 50 years preaching the other sweet little gospel, the sweet little good news message of what Jesus can do. They've scattered themselves all over this country, and look what has happened. Look at the condition that things are in. Oh, listen, there's a need for revival in America. I dare say when revival has come throughout the years of history, it brought a commitment to the people of God. It brought a commitment into their hearts. It brought a strength along with it that caused the gospel to be just spread all over the world. We need to make sure that we preach that gospel. The testimony of Jesus. What is the testimony of Jesus? It's the revelation or the unfolding of every stage of His life. If you can just picture with me this morning, the apostles there after Pentecost, when they got busy, oh, their hearts were full of the testimony of Jesus. Oh, how excited they were. So excited they were moved by the Spirit of God to put it down. Not one time, four times. Four times. What did they put down? The testimony of Jesus. The revelation or the unfolding of every stage of His life. That's the testimony of Jesus. How that He was in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. That's the testimony of Jesus this morning. That was the testimony that John had on his heart. That's what he wanted to give the message out to the world, that Jesus was from the beginning. But not only was He from the beginning, but the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That was the testimony of Jesus. the testimony of Jesus, the unfolding of his life, how he was born of a virgin, how he grew in wisdom, how he waxed strong in spirit, was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him even as a little child. That's the testimony of Jesus. How that at the age of 12, coming to full accountability, knowing exactly what his Father's will was and wanting to be about his Father's business, he submitted himself under the authority of his father and mother, his earthly father.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of his word. If you would like to listen to part 2 of this message, please press 2 now. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.